It's the Ira Kaufman Podcast here on JoeBucksFan.com, also found on iTunes, where so many of you listen, and on Podbean.com. I'm Steve Isbitz with the custodian of Canton himself, Mr. Ira Kaufman, a man who just enjoys life like no other. And Lee DeKemper, of course, is here. It's the troika that you love for your podcasts, which are presented by Edmore's Cadillac Tampa and Edmore's Cadillac Brandon. Start your car shopping search at EdmoresCadillacTampa.com and EdmoresCadillacBrandon.com. Proud presenters of all of Ira's work. And Ira,
We're a month away from the draft, Steve. I think we need to mention that. The clock is ticking. And as you like to put it, the bell. What do you always say? The dinner bell or something?
That's the free agency dinner bell.
The
draft has no bell.
No bell. All right. But it's commonly.
A siren.
It's right around the corner, baby.
Ira, we're still in free agency mode. And the Bucks. We didn't ask you yet. The Bucks re-signed Joe Hawley. What do you make of that?
Well, Hawley's nasty, Lee, in a good way. He's nasty. For all purposes, it's an outstanding move because I think you guys would agree, he's a go-to guy in the locker room. He's always there. He's there after games, win or lose. Always gives you a good soundbite, intelligent. But let's talk about Joe Hawley, the football player, Steve. That's what you're interested in.
Yeah, I don't care if he talks to anybody.
He's functional. He's not an all-pro. He's not Alex Mack. He's not Max Unger. Finished with the Max over
he's
there.
He's not Gary Unger either.
But he's okay.
I thought you were going to say he's not Mac the Knife.
Evan Smith's his backup. You know, Evan Smith can play guard, too. He can play center. The Bucks apparently feel comfortable. Steve, now, do I think they should draft a young center? Yes, I do. The problem is, Lee, we got all these positions where we say the Bucks better address it in the draft, and we're not talking about fifth and sixth round here. So running back is obvious, wide receiver. You know, they safety. Or maybe a third corner. You got problems. This is not a complete team yet, Steve. There's work to do. But I think center is a position where you need a young guy that you're grooming. I don't see any problem with that. You got your left tackle. You got your right guard. Unless the plan is Marpet moves to center. And I suggest the re-signing of Hawley maybe is an indication that plan's on hold.
So you're off the Mangold bandwagon?
I'm a little bit off the Mangold. You know why? No, nobody's picking him up. Nobody's showing any interest. That probably says loud and clear, Lee, he's lost a step.
You were talking about developing a center. Now, our gentleman to the left here, Mr. Isbitz, is going to go bananas when I say this. It's a pet peeve of his. Drives him wild. I think we're down this right. And we might have talked about this in a previous podcast. This train's down the track. Marpet's going to center as soon as this year. So that's your developmental center.
It seems that way because I think Cutter went out of his way. Might have been at Indy. Lee,
yeah,
you were there,
yeah.
Where he said, we think Marpet's a heck of a center. I think he said something like that. That's the strongest statement I've seen so far about what their plans are. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it.
He was taking snaps in practice at center,
you know,
as a third number three guy.
What you know, we're not there in every practice, Steve. You know, he gets some reps in practice. But I'll say this: he didn't play it in college, and Lee, I don't think he played it in high school. So you don't snap your fingers and be a good center.
No, but like you said, the immortal words of Jason Light the weekend he was drafted. Jason Light told the nation internationally. He was on Buccaneers.com.
He did.
He projects as a center.
Yeah, I just think it's the stupidest thing ever. Needless risk. This team does not need needless risk, and that's needless risk.
He's a borderline Pro Bowl guard, Steve.
No, here's one for you guys. Point. Yeah, and you're right. He probably is a Pro Bowl guard next year if he continues his trajectory. Here's one for you. You may have seen this on Twitter. I can't remember who sent this to us on Twitter. I'm going to write a story up about this. The Bucks have Pamfield listed as a tackle on their roster, Buccaneers.com.
Yeah, he's always been. I mean,
is that right?
He was drafted I saw that too. He was drafted as a tackle out of college, and they just never changed it.
You know? Okay.
He was, you know, specifically drafted as a tackle, and they just left it like that. I saw that too. But that's what you love about the fans. They get all crazy. They're seeing things that aren't there from, a roster printout.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
It's almost like the equivalent of an August depth chart.
That's
they're
right.
Almost like FBI agents. They every nook and cranny they're turning over, trying to find help.
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking at the team roster in March, you're a lunatic, and we love you. We embrace you here at
JoeBucksFan.com.
So you're at this point, you're looking at Hawley as a backup center. That's what you're looking at.
Yeah.
that's what makes the whole Marpet thing interesting, because if you have Hawley and you got Smith, who they're paying, they just gave him $1 million roster bonus. That's a lot of backup centers. And I don't know. We'll see.
Hawley didn't seem to draw a lot of interest on the free agent market.
Well, you know who else isn't drawing any interest? And this is, we're approaching 2 weeks now.
McDougald. Where's the interest for McDougald?
We don't know.
Got a couple of visits, maybe. We know he's had a couple of visits.
Brown. Either his agent is grossly overvaluing him, or there's some red flags.
Well, Steve tried to tell us a week or two ago that, the kid is ascending. He's this, he's that. I say he peaked his first year with the Bucks. I don't think he got any better.
Yeah. You don't know what that money he's asked for. It's a business. I'm not going to slide a guy if he's trying to hold out. Now, he might be an idiot, but he may work out in the end. So who knows?
Who's the odd man out between Wilcox, Conte, and Tandy, gentlemen? Mm. Plus, maybe another guy that's coming down the pike. But who's the odd man out there, Lee?
Well, I was talking with someone with the Bucks a couple weeks ago, maybe a month or so ago, and I asked him about Tandy. Which Tandy is it? Is it Tandy for the first half of the season?
That's a great question.
Who was pathetic? Or is Tandy the last 6 weeks of the season that replaced Conte when Conte was hurt?
Made some splash plays.
A lot of splash plays.
And four picks.
And I was told we think it's the latter, meaning the last few weeks of the season.
So the light went on? Steve, after all these years with Keith Tandy, the light went on?
Well, it happens for a lot of players. You know, fans don't want to hear that. This time of year when we talk about drafting guys and who's going to step up and holes, nobody likes to think of, well, this guy's going to come out of nowhere who hasn't played much in 2 years. But every year
it happens.
Like Ryan
Smith.
Every year it happens. I mean, look at Kevin Pamphile. Walks in.
Gets an opportunity.
Yeah, gets a shot at guard after he wasn't even a guard. He was a tackle. Mm-hmm. And, he can
handles himself well.
He's a good player. So guys do develop.
I'll tell you about the crazy fans. And we love the crazy fans. What I mean by crazy, I'm talking about passionate, eat, sleep, breathe Bucks. The minute they get to work, they hate their job so much, the only thing they think of is football. As soon as they get home, they're on their computer, watching NFL Network, you name it. A guy, it was funnier than hell, a guy called Pat Kerman show on NFL Radio. Guy was going bananas on Light and especially Conte. I mean, freaking out. And he had a list of grievances about Light. And I think it was everybody. Our readers saw there was a Dallas Buck guy who comments frequently on JoeBucksFan.com because he's a Light hater. This guy just went crazy on Light and went crazy on Conte. I mean, they were talking about safeties. And Kerwin's like, well, they already addressed the safeties. He just screams, yeah, but Chris Conte.
Steve, ultimately, you're what your record says, and Light inherited a mess, and right now he's got him on the brink of a playoff spot. So things are on the upswing for Jason Light as of this moment of this podcast.
Well, you asked about safety, and with the new guy, J.J.
Wilcox.
Yeah. And Conte and Tandy, I don't think there really has to even be an odd man out. We might not know that until the third preseason game. Just to see how that shakes out. Plus, I think nobody in their right mind would be surprised if the Bucks draft a safety. So you know what? Maybe they find a safety that they like in second or third round and work him in there, because good chance Tandy's gone or Conte's not here that much longer. Same thing for the rest of them. So Tandy's a free agent after this coming season. So I think it'll just be pure competition. I'm sure Mike Smith's very happy about it. That hey, let's that's what you want. Really,
you pay attention to this, and I don't, because it bores the hell out of me. What's the salaries like across the board in the NFL for safeties? Is it going down? Is it going up?
It's definitely gone.
Eric Berry got paid.
Definitely gone up. But okay. Conte and I always forget his name, the new guy,
J.J. Wilcox.
Wilcox. I know J.J.
There's a Wilcox, something to do with the Tampa Tribune, wasn't there? No, the former superintendent of Pinellas County, where a former colleague of ours has nose up his rear end so much.
Want his bits to remember.
That's how you remember. Yeah, and I mean, this guy didn't have snot rockets. He had crap rockets. Oh, his nose is so far up the guy's rear end. Remember that guy? Yeah. I'm not going to out him, but remember?
Continue, Steve.
I'm going to out him.
The guy could not write a story about Pinellas County schools without quoting this guy.
You may continue.
Let me explain for the readers quickly on your podcast. Lee and I used to work in the Clearwater Bureau of the Tampa Tribune. Now, we're going back a dozen years right now, but there was a guy who covered education, and Clayton Wilcox was the superintendent of Pinellas County Schools, and all he did, this guy, Adam Emerson was his name. all he did was talk about Clayton Wilcox will get just drove Lee nuts. It was as if this guy, Clayton Wilcox, was about to win the Cy Young, you know, the way he was
like
talking
walked
about
on, I walked across Tampa Bay. Every story this guy quoted, like, dude, can't you diversify your sources a little
bit? So now I'll remember J.J. Wilcox.
Now you got J.J. Wilcox.
So he's making about $3 million. Conti's making about $3 million a year. And Tandy's making peanuts, like $1.3 million, somewhere in that ballpark. So he's the cheap man out. And, you know, safeties are getting paid. McDougal was probably looking for more, was probably looking for four, you know, or something, maybe $5 million guaranteed over 2 years.
And he had a rude awakening.
So
I thought the
Bucks
might have had a little interest in Antoine Bethea after he got canned by the Niners. But he already got picked up. Picked up quickly.
And the Carolina signed a good veteran safety. I forget his name.
Not Munnerlin.
I forgot. Okay. But they added in the back.
Carolina's brought back some guys, Lee. Pepper's back in town.
Yeah, they made some interesting signings, and I don't know if they're good or bad. Pepper's, you know, he's on his last leg.
He is on his last leg.
So I don't know, man.
I don't know. Pepper's has been very productive.
In spot duty.
Effective. And I'm going to say this name. Don't freak out, Ira. Much like Adrian Peterson, Julius Peppers was always a freakish, extreme freak athlete. The guy, you know, played basketball and was a damn good player.
We'll end up in Canton.
He's a slam dunk if you look at the numbers.
I think he does. Yeah.
Here's the ultimate caveat with Peppers, though. And this is my this is one of my 10 commandments of the NFL. If Ted Thompson doesn't want you, stay away. Mm.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's a slam dunk, but he, because he was such a Looney Tune freakish athlete, that he's one of those guys who's probably just going to keep going.
He's one of those also, Steve, one of the rare pass rushers that came off the left side. Not a lot. Strahan did that also. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Sapp used to yell at complain about Strahan, you know, well, he goes up against the right tackle. You know, he's Simeon's going up against the left tackle.
My last point about Peppers.
Not a lot of rushers come off the left side.
Very rare, yeah. My last point about Peppers, to this day, Kenyatta Walker in his sleep is slapping at people's faces.
Ooh.
That's all I got to say about Peppers. Mr. Hands to the face. Kenyatta Walker versus
this is a subject, Peppers. Steve, another subject for a full podcast, but I'll throw it out there now just to whet the appetite. Are you okay with the Buck pass rush right now? As it stands, are you okay with it?
The Buccaneers pass rush.
What pass rush?
Wow. Lee with a quick answer.
Am I okay with it? Okay like Super Bowl okay?
Okay like they don't have to draft somebody? Okay like they don't
no,
have
to? If I was running the draft, nobody cares though, but if I was running the draft, I would draft a pass rusher. First round. Absolutely. You can never have enough. These guys make a ton of money. There's a reason they're valued so high. Noah Spence coming off surgery. Wilk Golston can't rush the passer.
Ayers is getting old.
Ayers turns 32 and
Jack
just
Smith,
had an injury.
Cannot depend on
Jaquie
him.
Smith, you can't count on. This Chris Baker guy, that's very nice. He turns 32.
So where's your edge guy? Yeah, yeah.
You know, Baker's got some age on him, so, you know, if you're looking ahead. And where's your edge beast? You need to find the beast.
Well, they think it's going to be Spence.
They think. But there's nothing wrong with two beasts either.
They could have had Yannick last year when they traded up. Instead, they got a kicker.
You're not opposed to drafting a defensive end at pick 19.
Lee's talking about the edge rusher from the Jaguars with the tough name to pronounce. So we call him
Yannick. Yannick's his first name. I'm not even going to attempt
and
He had a good year.
He had a good year.
And he was second in the NFL with sacks for rookies. Obviously, what's-his-face Ohio State guy over in San Diego had the most. Bosa.
And guys, you know, we also have to recognize the division that the Bucs play in with those quarterbacks, the premium for the pass rush. And didn't Light say in Indy, Lee, make a point of it and maybe say it three times? You got to rush the passer. Didn't he say that a bunch of times in Indy? It's very much on Light's mind.
Yeah, he did a radio interview where they asked him, hey, Jason, what do you got to do to win next year? Twice he mentioned rush the passer. Once he mentioned something else, which I forgot. But it's a big deal, and everybody loves talking offense because it's sexy, and we got Jameis, and we need a running back. But that pass rush isn't.
We
going
thought
to,
they were.
What do you think, Ira? What do you think on your
custodian
podcast?
I think they have to upgrade. I think your first point was the best one. You can't have enough pass rushers. You can't have it. And Lee broke it down. You can't rely on Jaquie Smith. No. Spence is ascending, but we don't know what his peak is. Mm-hmm. Ayers is going to be 32. Golston, not much of a factor on the pass rush. Got to have it. It's got to be addressed.
Now, I don't know if we spoke about this on the last podcast or not about Baker. I sense other people are seeing what I'm seeing. Last year when Mike Smith came aboard, he was quick to point out, don't pigeonhole us as a 43 defense. Yeah, it's our base, but we're going to diversify. We saw very little 34. Now, in practice, both of us, all three of us, I should say, we all saw Noah Spence lining up as a linebacker in a 34. Now, I know Chris Baker has experience as a defensive end in a 34. I'm not saying he's any good or not, just saying he's got experience. He played in a 34. It's sure, to me, it's starting to smell, and you guys just referenced Jason Light talking about edge rush. It just appears to me that they're adding guys can also play, they're diverse enough, they can also, are versatile enough, they can play 34. We might be seeing more of that in order to get to the pass rusher.
We've always seen a four-man base defense, a four-man front for the Bucs. I think in 76 when they started, they were in a three-man front. Because Leroy Selman played right end in a three-man front.
Wasn't Floyd Peters a 34 guy?
I'm not sure about Peters.
Who was the great big guy, the bald dude? He used to be defensive coordinator for San Diego. He was with the Bucs. He was a 34 guy.
Wasn't the Bucs inaugural game? Wasn't that your 40th birthday party?
Take it easy over there, Isabits. Take it easy. Let's get back to Ed Morse's Cadillac for a second.
Exactly. You know what? Because everyone wants more time, more savings, more benefits. You'll always get more at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa. Lease a 2017 CTS for just $489 a month. Sign and drive and enjoy the many benefits of being an Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa customer, like complimentary digital alignment checks, car washes, courtesy transportation, and so much more. Click EdMorseCadillacTampa.com to get it all started. Of course, see dealer for all the details. Offer expires at the end of the month. And, Ira, no, seriously, with the pass rush, I think the big X factor here is Mike Smith hopefully realized last year that if he wants to get the most out of Levante David, he's got to blitz him more. That's
very,
your blitzer.
Very interesting.
That's your guy.
How many years have we been saying that, Steve? How many years?
Too many. Lovey didn't do it enough. It's not like he had bad years.
That first year under Schiano, he really showed all his versatile talents, right, Steve? But we haven't seen it consistently since that first year under
Schiano.
He's
had some good spells. It just hasn't been what we've not. But the point is he can rush. And you don't not get a pass rusher because you want to blitz David more, but it's got to be a factor in the mindset. We got a couple of questions for you, Ira. And one thing we found out as we record this is that Nick Folk's got some guaranteed money, the Bucs kicker.
That could tell you that other teams were interested in Nick Folk, too, and they had to seal the deal.
Yeah, we're finding out $1.75 million deal with $750,000 fully guaranteed. Now, that's from Adam Kaplan of ESPN. Kickers don't make a ton of money, but still, you just guaranteed the guy $750,000. Interesting.
Folks going to get every chance to win that job, Steve. That's just the way it is. And if he outkicks Aguayo, Aguayo's draft status will mean absolutely nothing.
And the headline
is ready.
Adios.
Adios. Adios. Below. Yeah.
Here's one of the questions on Twitter for you, Ira. Don't take this as a slam. You're not one of these people that spends so much time, you're up till 2 o'clock in the morning looking at guys at Cal State Poly who the Bucs might draft. Now we have a question here. The guy threw out four draft picks, you know, a four-round mock draft. Wanted your input. Do you agree or agree? I'm not even going to go there.
You're setting me up on a tee here.
No, you spend your time trying to get guys in the Hall of Fame. You're not monkeying around with guys who more likely than not aren't even going to be in the NFL, much less on a Bucs.
Gentlemen,
college. But there's the but. Their first round pick. This guy wants to know Dalvin Cook. Take it away.
First round pick. If he's there, I think there's going to be a lot of pressure to take Dalvin Cook. Will that seal the deal?
What the hell does pressure
there's
mean?
Pressure.
What's pressure? Local
kid. Local kid.
Who's pressure?
Local. He's from Miami.
No. I play Florida State. There's a lot of Florida State fans. Come on, guys. You know, the Warrick Dunn comparisons. That don't hurt Dalvin Cook
either.
He
broke Cavs record.
If they check him out, he passes the character test, and there's some questions about Dalvin Cook off the field. I don't think a lot of people could argue with that pick. I don't think Isbitz is crazy either. If there's a defensive end there, Lee, that they really like and gets high grades from the Bucs scouts, and Light trusts his scouts. They talked up Aguayo, and he pulled the trigger. How many times did Jason Light, you know, check out Aguayo himself? A couple, maybe, but he puts a lot of stock in his guys. He's got confidence in them.
He's seen Aguayo quite a few times because he was scouting Jameis like crazy. So
I'll throw the wild card out there, McCaffrey. McCaffrey, to me, is a wild card. I think he'd be a fan favorite. I think he could be one of these face of the franchise guys. If he pans out, Steve, I think he does everything well. And I think Cutter's the guy that knows how to use a guy like that. Maybe he's a better Charles Sims. How do you like that, Kemper?
There was another question on Twitter, Ira. Also, one of our readers asked, and our listeners asked, if you like cigars. So my gut feeling was whether maybe this guy is going to mail you a box of cigars. But what's your honest take on cigars? Do you enjoy a good stogie with your Dubonnet?
I love the smell of a good cigar. You know, I was just walking past Ybor City the other day. We were going to Columbia Restaurant. We saw caught the flamenco show.
Click, 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 click.
Little, you know, Bette Midler in the background. Oh, nothing wrong with that. And past they were hand rolling cigars. And to answer your question, I'm not a smoker. Never have been. Tried a cigarette when I was 14, and I'm still coughing my guts out about it, Lee. But I do like the smell of a good cigar.
Was that
not sure why that was one of the questions of
it. Was that
Steve.
During Prohibition?
Never mind. Oh.
You know what? I think I know where Steve's going here.
Steve Sharp is
no,
attack,
it was a
man.
Legitimate question.
It is.
No, it came on Twitter from a fan.
I understand.
I think I know where this is coming
all
from.
All right, let me hear this.
You listen to Pulowski's podcast, right?
Sure.
There's a guy from Panama that's coming to his draft party. Panama, not Panama City.
And he wants to meet me?
Well, I don't know about that. Possibly because you appeared on Justin's JP or Joey Jason.
That's right.
Or, no, Justin's show. And anyway, this guy offered to bring Justin a box of Cuban cigars.
That reminds me of the Seinfeld episode when Kramer told Jerry to go get some Cubans.
Yeah,
Cubans
he gets Cubans. He shows up with real Cubans. Yeah, yeah, that was fantastic.
Was that when they went golfing?
I think it was when they went golfing.
Yeah, and he complained about at the public parks, they don't rake the sand traps, Jerry.
Ira, only luxury dealership in Brandon is Edmore's Cadillac Brandon. EdmoresCadillacBrandon.com is where you can check out all the great opportunities at Edmore's Cadillac Brandon, like more selection, shop hundreds of brand new Cadillacs, and more savings, like a new 2017 ATS sedan for just $299 a month. Rush to Edmore's Cadillac Brandon to get more and see the dealer for all the details. Edmore's Cadillac Brandon and Edmore's Cadillac Tampa, they present all of your work, Ira.
Steve, when I went to see Hamilton.
Otherwise, you'd be on the street like Bradley McDougal.
Lee, I went.
You saw Josh Hamilton?
Went to see Hamilton a couple of weeks ago.
What's Josh doing?
I wore my red Ed Moore shirt. And George Washington was in the middle of one of his monologues and spotted me and said,
"The red coats.
Where's Ed Morse?"
The red coats.
You know, he stopped the show right there.
I thought you said you saw Josh Hamilton.
No,
you thought
Josh
you were like
Hamilton.
A Hessian soldier.
I saw Leonard Hamilton lay an egg the other day.
There you go. Nice segue. Ba-boom. I got a quick Dalvin Cook before you.
All right. But I want to remind our people that Steve and I will be taking off Monday for Phoenix, and we will be in place for 3 days of information and frivolity, Mr. DeKemper.
Are you going to squeal?
And your boy, Mike Florio, I'm sure will be there.
Yep.
We'll say hello. Maybe even get on the show, Steve. So we're looking forward to
you
it.
You going
to
squirrel away to see your beloved Giants in a spring training game?
You know what? Isbeth says I can have the company car for morning.
Yes, please do, because I'll be napping. I'll be napping.
I'm just throwing this in there. You know, we were talking about Dalvin Cook before the Ed Morse commercial. I'm just throwing this out there. See, I want your reaction. If somehow, some way, Cook is there at 19 and Jason Light doesn't pull the trigger, that tells me they got something on him. The Bucks, that is. They dug up something.
That's not a bad way to look at it, Lee. Not a bad way to look at it. Especially if they take another running back.
Yes.
Over him.
Yes.
Yeah, good point. Good point.
Ira, you know, I think fans, I try to remember that I'm a fan. You know, the media stuff is nice and all that, and we're legitimate media members. But when fans hear you're saying there's pressure to draft Dalvin Cook. What does that mean? Everyone's listening in their car saying, pressure.
Who's applying pressure?
He's a guy that Buck fans saw play in college.
The fans are applying the pressure.
I'm talking about fans.
Not the G's.
Not the G's.
G's.
Look, Cook's an outstanding prospect, gentlemen. You know, he got better as the season went on. Got off to a kind of a slow start. You got the Jameis factor. Guys, that's not to be dismissed. You know, I'm not saying Jameis is running this team, but he's got a little bit of an influence.
Well, you've inspired me, Ira. You've definitely inspired me because I'm going to run a JoeBucksFan.com poll soon to get a sense of the pulse of the fans on drafting Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook. But the reason I say that is because I believe, and I think Lee would agree with me, that the pressure isn't that great to draft Dalvin Cook this year. One, because there are other running backs. But two, there's still a percentage of Bucks fans who believe in Doug Martin. There is a faction of Bucks fans. I don't know how big it is. The poll will probably say who it is, how big it is. But they believe in Mr. Martin.
Well, you're squirming.
I don't know what you're drinking over there, Isbits, but you know, you need a little alcohol in there because that's preposterous.
Talk to the people.
Talk to the people.
When you do that poll, and I hope you do it, it will be overwhelmingly positive in terms of Dalvin Cook. It will be overwhelmingly positive. Very few people are going to say, well, you know, he got a, you know, he got jaywalking when he, you know, pulled over. They don't care about that. They saw Dalvin Cook play. They saw him have big games in big games.
Yes.
And is there any doubt that there's a yawning need for a running back, gentlemen?
Yawning.
So, Isbits, put that in your cigar and smoke it. But Buck fans, by and large, would overwhelmingly be in support of drafting Dalvin Cook. And I'll bet you a dinner on it. And speaking of that,
you're
you still owe me a dinner.
I do. Yeah, I do owe you
Wendy's.
A dinner.
Wendy owes me a dinner.
Wendy's. Super Bowl dinner. Well, we have to cancel. We have to cancel. Now, you're putting five carts before the horse here. You're saying, of course, Bucks fans would be overwhelmingly supportive of drafting Dalvin Cook after the draft. I'm saying now, I don't think there's all this pressure, draft Dalvin Cook. There's plenty of people who feel that way, but you got plenty of Joe Mixon fans out there. I hate to use the word fan for Joe Mixon, but you've got plenty of Doug Martin fans. You've got Fournette fans. You've got Marlon Mack fans as we sit here in Tampa.
Joe Mixon. Maybe Sheila Mixon is voting for Joe Mixon, but come on.
All right, Kaufman.
You do that poll.
I will.
And it's going to go very strong for Dalvin Cook.
You know what I find interesting? When we run a poll, I usually within 3 hours is 2,000 votes.
Nice.
But on the other websites that cover the Bucks, they run a poll. They run a poll for a whole week, and they get 1,000 votes.
Sometimes they don't even tell you how many votes they're getting. They're embarrassed.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But we do. On our site, we do.
Interesting. Fascinating stuff. How does that happen?
All I know is we're on our way to Phoenix, my man.
All right, Kaufman. Don't sit too close to me on the plane. And if you want extra peanuts.
I'm wearing a mask.
If you want extra peanuts. I'll ask for it. I'll get the peanuts for you. Don't worry.
All right.
Ira Kaufman podcast fires every Tuesday and Thursday, except when it doesn't, right here on JoeBucksFan.com. Subscribe at iTunes. Leave a comment. Tell Ira that he sucks. Tell him he's great. Just leave a comment. You can comment there on iTunes as well at podbean.com. You can listen there. That's where I listen on my desktop, actually, Ira, Podbean.
Don't be afraid to retweet this podcast, Pulowski. Don't be afraid.
No fear. No fear in this podcast. Any parting words, Lee? Parting words.
JP, Jason, John, what?
Jason, you know, I run the whole gamut. The whole gamut.
Now, for those who missed that, you know, Ira just happened to, during his sit down with the commish, he used four different names for the commish. So
I
that's
had
okay.
Jason Light on my mind, Lee. You know, it warps your thinking sometimes.
How does Jason Light figure in with JP?
Well, JP is legit.
Yeah,
Justin Paul.
I understand, but a lot of people think of JP Peterson.
Peterson. Well,
right, Ira, get focused, please.
Here we go.
Please.